All right. Once again, I don't see a clock, so just remind me what time we hope to be out of here by. Okay. All right. Well. Okay. Well, it is good to be here again, and again, as in I was here for Sunday school, and again now for the morning service, right? But it is good, and you guys make us feel at home, so it's almost like we feel like we've been here before. I'd like to start out just by sharing a little bit of my testimony. I mentioned a little bit in the morning service, but to understand a little more of how God proceeded to work in my life to call me to missions. I think it's important because we see kids, you go like, oh, they're just kids. No, they're not just kids. They're future pastors. They're future missionaries. Yes, they're future servants of the Lord. And it's important you see where this all starts. My parents were called to be missionaries in Brazil. They went to Brazil back in 1968. Some of you can't even remember that date. Back in 1968, they went to Brazil. I was only 9 months old. I was the fifth of seven children. Later on, two more were born there in the field. So growing up on the mission field, ever since I was very small, of course, I grew up, my mom says my first words were in Portuguese, so it is, I guess, my first language. But I grew up with both languages, both cultures. And as growing up and being involved with church planting ever since I was a little kid, I mean, I was 6, 7, 8 years old, and I was helping haul bricks to stack and, you know, so they could build the church buildings. And, you know, I was just busy. I was helping out in the work of the Lord. Before I was 10, I was out handing out tracts. I'd be inviting people to church, and I was busy. I was serving the Lord. And I'd sing at church, and I'd help out with everything. In our house, we had family devotions in the morning, family devotions again at night, unless there was a service, a church service that night. But so I was in the Bible. I was hearing the Word of God. I was memorizing verses. But it was at the age of 10, one day when my father preached in the second church he started, he preached a message about the realities of hell that I had to stop and say, I never really trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was a good little Christian boy, a missionary kid, but I had personally not trusted Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so that day I talked to my father after the service, and he showed me again in the Word of God. And that day I trusted Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Right. And that was like, all right, now I'm saved. Now I'm going to heaven. So then all of a sudden I'm going like, God, what changes? I already go to church every time church is open. I help out. I help build church. I help. I'm doing everything Christians do. So what changes in my life now that I'm saved? Well, as I sought the Lord and prayed about that and started trying to get more involved and do more, at the age of 13, I was reading a book about some missionaries, and these missionaries ended up getting killed by cannibals. When I got to that point in the book, I just started crying. And I said, God, no! No, God, we need more missionaries, more people telling others about the Lord. God, no, don't. We need more people to be missionaries. And I understood at that moment why Jesus Christ said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he thrust forth laborers. Because when in your heart you're burdened about the lost and you say, God, send someone, God may just say that someone is you. From the age 13 on up, I no longer had dreams of when I grow up, I want to be, I am a missionary. God has called me to be a missionary. I became more involved in church, leading youth groups and doing different things, serving the Lord. And then I came back to the United States for Bible college, and knowing that I'm finishing Bible college, I'm going to back to the mission field. That's what God has called me to do. So like I said, I was about 22, looked about 17. I actually have a picture. My wife has an awesome picture of me from back in those days in her Bible. But I was trying to raise support. I was actually so skinny, my brothers used to say I had to stand up twice to make a shadow. And here I was going to pastor and saying, Pastor, I'm going back to Brazil as a missionary, and I'm going back at the end of the year. I prayed about it, felt that October was the right time to go. I bought a ticket. I said, I'm going back in October. I said, what about support? I said, I'm going in October. So whatever God does for me between now and then, that's what I believe he's going to let me have. And of course, I went very, 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 very under-supported. And so be it. I wasn't even able to come back to the States until someone died in my family, and churches paid for me to come back to the States for the funeral. But I didn't care because I knew who had called me and what he wanted for my life. I just wanted to serve him. So I worked as camp director. 3 years later, God looked at me and said, it is definitely not good for this man to be alone. And so he put my lovely wife into my life. And we've been married now for going on 28 years. The 24th of July will be 28 years we've been married. And what a blessing it is to serve the Lord together. Soon after we got married, I ended up taking over the pastor of the second church my father started. The pastor was pastoring there, left, and I took over the church for 2 years. In the meantime, we were praying about where God would have us start our own church. God worked things out. We started a church. We've now started three churches. One is kind of shut down, temporarily going to the other church. I mentioned before about some of the problems that were faced there. But God has been using us, and then, of course, our last church we started two and a half years ago. It's still going, even in the middle of COVID, for the honor and glory of God. So we've been busy with camp ministries. We live on a camp property. I've been camp director for 30 years. We've been busy with starting churches. And then more recently, we started a project to develop young boys to become young men who love God, serve God, and become future pastors and missionaries. Hopefully, God will call many of them. It's called the Guardians of the Faith. It's something we're developing on our own, kind of like Boy Scouts with a lot more biblical emphasis. And you'll see some of that in the video. So what we'll do now is, let's go ahead and show the video, because that way you'll see more about the ministry, and then we'll continue on after that.
Brazil, the fifth largest country in the world, and ranked sixth in population with over 210 million souls. When many claim to be Christians, the majority are Catholic, and most of them are from Pentecostal and Presbyterian churches. The fact is that churches preaching the true gospel are scarce. Though larger than Texas, the state of Mato Grosso has 100 totaling over 3 million people, but less than 20 independent Baptist churches. This is where God has called us to serve. We are the Doolittle family, Peter, Zirlani, Stanley, and Kevin, second-generation missionaries serving the Lord in the heart of the continent of South America since 1990. Our ministries include Camp Maranatha, church planting, and the Guardians of the Faith. Started by my father, Robert Doolittle, in the late 1970s, and later passed on to us, Camp Maranatha has become one of our primary ministries throughout the past 30 years, and has grown to become one of the largest Baptist Bible camps in Brazil, where many souls have been saved for the glory of God. Camp Maranatha is a place of fellowship for like-minded churches with great food, physical activities, but most of all, it is a place for solid Bible preaching through which the Holy Spirit convicts the lost, corrects the wayward, strengthens the weak, and challenges the faithful. In the past years, we have been used by God to start three churches. Our first church, in Tarumã, is now under the leadership of Pastor Vanderlei, who has been a blessing both for the church and a great partner in our other ministry. Well, in July of 2018, we were able to begin Maranatha Baptist Temple in El Dorado. This new church has grown steadily, and we praise God for the souls won to Christ there. We have reached out to the neighborhood through special services directed at specific groups of people, as well as street work, handing out tracts and Bibles. We praise God for the opportunity to do personal Bible studies about salvation, then following up with discipleship with those who get saved. Of the churches in our area, several are in desperate need of pastors, as some of the men who were supposed to be serving the Lord have abandoned the work. Unfortunately, lack of morality and Christian character is a common problem. For the past several years, God has been burdening my heart with regard to the lack of faithful men and the need of doing something about the next generation of leaders. In God's timing, we were able to start the obedience, and leadership. All the lessons are based on four pillars which define the life of a guardian: God, family, church, and country. What a blessing it is to be able to teach these young men through the Word of God to be obedient and to be respectful to these four pillars and the laws of the guardians. Through this, we are training the boys of today to become the men of tomorrow. And it's our desire in the future to be able to continue teaching them in a Bible Institute scenario, not just them, but other young men and women as well, training them through a Bible Institute program. As we prepare to leave our oldest son, Stanley, at Bible College, we ask that you pray for him and pray for the rest of the family as well as we continue serving the Lord, that many souls may be saved, churches established, lives transformed for the honor and the glory of God. Would you please consider partnering with us as we continue serving our Lord? We are the Doolittles for Brazil.
Make use of him whenever we can get him. God's blessing, he's going to be working during the summer as an intern at a church, so we won't have him during the summer either. Just about the Guardians of the Faith ministry and about some books that are back there, I'm going to have him explain since he is actually the author of the book, so I'll let him talk about it.
Ever since I can remember, I have always loved reading, and many books that I have read, good Christian books, have become a great part of my life. And unfortunately in Brazil, there's a great lack of good Christian reading material, especially for kids. Like here you have lots of Christian fiction books and things for children to read. That just does not exist in Brazil. And so through this, I was challenged by my father to write a book series in Portuguese for children, a good book series that taught good morals and Bible lessons for kids. And through this, I wrote the Pioneer series. This is the first book, The Adventure Begins. And this book series is focused on the lives of Robert Doolittle, my grandfather, George Huestis, and John Rale, which were the three pioneer missionaries in our state in Brazil, the first Baptist missionaries in our state of Brazil in Brazil. And so this book is a version of them as children. They're like teenagers and going in adventures and things, but it teaches Bible lessons, good morals, for the kids to be able to read, the boys in the Guardians of the Faith series, to be able to read and learn and have some entertainment while still learning things and good lessons from the Word of God. And so through this, we have these books back there. There's a suggested contribution. All the money raised from the sale of these books is going directly into the work there in Brazil. We work with a lot of kids that come from poor families, and so to be able to buy all the materials and things that we need to be able to continue working with these boys. We have these books back there, and if you'd like to go take a look, we have a little synopsis on the back of what the story is about and everything. But just continue praying for us with this work with the boys in Brazil, that we truly may be able to help them grow in the Lord so that in the future we may have men that truly love God and want to serve him.
Amen. You can go ahead and stay up here. We're going to have them come up. So this is it's a different type of ministry, but God has been blessing and as we've been developing it. So if you pray for the Guardians of the Faith ministry, we have many pastors in Brazil desiring to start these clubs in their churches as well in the future. So God will work things out like that. We're going to try to sing a song.
Singers.
We're not singers, but we sing for the honor and glory of God. And this song that we're going to sing, it's I like it because it talks about how we can trust in God. It doesn't matter what's happening. We can trust in God. And I hope it's okay. You guys will probably get your first dose of speaking in tongues here, or singing in tongues. But we will sing the first stanza and chorus in Portuguese. But since there must be interpretation, we'll sing it again in English so you can get the benefit of the message.
Se o sol não brilhar de manhã, se as águas sumirem do mar, se as estrelas do céu caírem de lá, sei que Cristo cuidará de mim. Ele é o grandioso Deus que criou tudo aqui. Ele sabe o que o futuro será. Então venha o que for, eu não temerei, porque Cristo cuidará de mim. If the sun does not shine in the morning, if the waters disappear from the sea, if the stars from heaven fall down from above, I know Jesus will take care of me. He's a mighty big God who created all things, and he knows what the future will be. So come what may, I will not be afraid. I know Jesus will take care of me. If nations rise up against nations, and there's conflict from sea to sea, if it seems that the world will come to an end, I know Jesus will take care of me. He's the mighty big God who created all things, and he knows what the future will be. So come what may, I will not be afraid. I know Jesus will take care of me. So come what may, I will not be afraid. I know Jesus will take care of me. Take care of me.
Jesus does take care of us. Don't worry, just trust in the Lord. I know that, you know, you want to hear a message, and I'll get to that. But I think that sometimes we forget that our testimonies are also a message of what God really does.
That's right.
And whenever I'm given the opportunity or allowed to, I ask my wife to give her testimony.
Sure.
Because it is important to see what missions
Right.
does.
I'll give my testimony in English, or in Portuguese, not in English.
I was going to say, that's going to be a first.
Não. Eu vou dar meu testemunho em português, porque quando eu chego aqui, eu esqueço todo o inglês que eu sei.
Said, I'm going to give my testimony in Portuguese, but when I get up in front, I forget all my English.
E meu testemunho tem que vir do meu coração, então tem que ser na minha língua.
And my testimony has to come from my heart, so it has to be in my language.
Duas coisas eu não consigo fazer em inglês.
Two things I can't do in English.
Eu não consigo dar meu testemunho, eu não consigo orar.
I can't give my testimony and I can't pray in English.
Aguenta a barra aí.
So, hang on there.
Eu vim de uma família tradicional católica brasileira.
I came from a traditional Catholic Brazilian family.
Passei por todos os ritos do catolicismo, de confessar meus pecados perante o padre, rezar perante imagem de escultura.
Went through the rituals of Catholicism, confessing my sins to the Catholic priest, saying prayers to engraven images.
Hoje eu sei que isso era tudo vazio.
Today, I know that was all empty.
Um dia, alguém me convidou para ir na Igreja Batista.
One day, someone invited me to go to a Baptist church.
Era a segunda igreja batista que o pai de Peter começou no Brasil.
It was the second of the Baptist churches that Peter's father had started in Brazil.
Eu fui na igreja alguns dias e com a igreja fui nesse acampamento que vocês viram.
I went to church a couple of times, and then with the church group, I went to that camp you saw in the video.
Naquele acampamento, dia após dia, ouvindo a palavra de Deus.
At that camp, day after day, hearing the word of God.
No quarto dia daquele acampamento, eu entendi salvação.
On the fourth day of that camp, I understood salvation.
Que não era religião como a minha família me ensinava.
That it wasn't religion like my family had taught me.
Que não era Maria como eles me ensinavam.
It wasn't Mary like they talked so much about.
Mas somente Jesus Cristo podia salvar minha alma e que eu era uma pecadora e precisava da salvação.
But that only Jesus Christ could save my soul and that I was a sinner and I needed his salvation.
Naquele acampamento embaixo de uma árvore.
That day under a shade tree.
Deus me salvou.
God saved me.
Eu entendi que Jesus Cristo podia, era o único que podia me salvar e me levar para o céu.
I understood that Jesus Christ was the only one who could save me and take me to heaven.
Deus mudou minha vida naquele acampamento.
God changed my life there at that camp.
Eu voltei para casa e falei para minha mãe que eu não queria mais na igreja católica.
I went back home and I told my mom that I didn't want to go to the Catholic Church anymore.
Ela não importou muito porque ela não achava que eu estava séria.
She didn't take me serious, so she didn't care much.
Mas a minha avó ficou muito brava.
But my grandmother got really mad.
Eles eram realmente católicos, praticantes mesmo.
They were actually really Catholics.
Ela falou que era um desrespeito para a nossa família.
And she said that I was being disrespectful to the family.
Mas Deus me deu força, eu continuei fiel, crescendo no Senhor.
But God gave me strength, I continued growing in the Lord.
Eu tinha 11 anos quando aceitei Cristo.
I was 11 years old when I got saved.
E aos 13 anos de idade, eu comecei a fazer a segunda oração mais importante da minha vida.
And at the age of 13, I started praying to the Lord the second most important prayer request of my life.
Depois da minha salvação, é.
After my salvation.
Eu comecei a orar por marido.
I started praying for a husband.
E a minha oração era.
And my prayer was.
Senhor, me dá homem que ama mais o Senhor do que a mim mesma.
God, give me a husband who will love you more than he will me.
Porque eu sei se ele te amar, ele vai me amar.
Because I know that if he loves you, then he'll love me.
Deus não demorou muito.
It didn't take God long.
Quando eu tinha 18 anos de idade, Deus me deu aquele homem por quem orava.
When I was 18 years old, God gave me that kind of man for which I had prayed.
O nome dele é Peter Doolittle.
And his name is Peter Doolittle.
Deus me deu um privilégio de me casar e entrar direto no ministério.
God gave me the privilege of getting married and going right into the ministry.
Pedro já era missionário solteiro.
Peter was already a single missionary.
Trabalhando naquele acampamento que eu precisei para entender salvação.
Working at that camp that God used to get me saved at.
Então, eu aceitei Cristo e fui trabalhar naquele acampamento.
So I got saved, married, and started working at that camp.
Deus me deu o privilégio de, com meu marido, começarmos igrejas.
God has given me the privilege of, with my husband, starting churches.
E ganhar o meu povo para ele.
And win my people to the Lord.
Mas, irmãos, sabe por que eu posso estar aqui hoje?
But, brother, do you know why I can be here today?
E eu posso dizer para vocês que eu estou indo para o céu.
And I can tell you that I'm going to heaven.
É por causa de missões.
It's because of missions.
Porque um dia um homem nesse país ouviu a voz de Deus, foi para o meu país.
Because one day a man from this country heard God's call and went to my country.
Esse é Robert Doolittle, meu sogro.
That's Robert Doolittle, my father-in-law.
Eu falo para ele que ele é meu herói aqui na terra.
I tell him that he's my hero here on earth.
Porque esse homem obedeceu a Deus, eu estou indo para o céu.
Because this man obeyed God, I'm going to heaven.
E não só eu.
And not just me.
Eu fui a primeira em toda a minha família católica a ser salva.
I was the first of all my Catholic family to get saved.
Mas hoje muitos da minha família são salvos.
But today many of my family are saved.
Minha família está indo para o céu.
My family is going to heaven.
Por causa de missões.
Because of missions.
Então, irmãos, o que eu gostaria de dizer é que missões transformam vidas.
So, brothers, what I'd like to share is that missions transforms lives.
Transforma famílias.
It transforms families.
E pode transformar países.
And it can transform countries.
Eu louvo a Deus por esse país.
I thank God for this country.
Porque tem muitas igrejas que amam missões.
Because there are many churches here that still love missions.
E envia missionários.
And send missionaries.
Thank you very much for loving missions.
Muito, muito obrigado por amar missões. Just translating. All right. It is a blessing to serve our living God. I have been debating. I have a couple of messages to preach. And I was debating and praying about what the Lord would have me to preach this morning. And I'm going to preach a message that I have probably not preached in a few years. I just felt led the Lord is what he wants me to preach this morning. So we try to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to talk this morning. I say talk because I talk as I preach, but about the blessings of being saved. So many times we as saved people kind of get in the rut of, well, I'm a Christian, yeah, I go to church, but we don't stop to think of the blessing of salvation itself. And so we're going to share here this morning about the blessings of salvation or the blessings of being saved. And we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. We're going to read just as a text to start out, verses 3 through 5. If you wouldn't mind standing, hey, there was already someone standing. That's good. In results, we also. We all stand for the reading of the Word of God for a message. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. The Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that this message, though short and to the point, may touch our hearts and encourage us, Lord. And for those who are saved, they may be encouraged about the blessings that we do have. And those who are not saved, Lord, that may be listening to this message either now or later on, Lord, that they may understand that there is blessings in being saved, something that many in the world just do not understand. But I pray that you may use me this morning, Lord, to preach your words the way you would have them spoken in Christ's precious name. Amen. Bye. You may be seated. Honestly, there is nothing better than being saved.
That's right.
I like to say nothing better than being a Christian, but unfortunately not always the word Christian actually ends up being someone who's saved. There are people who believe they're Christians. They call themselves Christians, but we should, yes, be Christians, but you have to be saved to be a true Christian.
Yes,
if for some reason you are not saved, please don't discard this message. I want you to look at it as an advertisement of all the things you could have if you do get saved, okay? And if you are saved, I want you to rejoice in the things that you do have. And don't look at your salvation as that, yeah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven type of an attitude. So as we start looking into it here, Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, now he is one of my favorite authors in the Bible, just, you know, he's Peter, you know, that's just kind of, got to be one of my favorite authors, right? But he is very simple in the way he writes things. Peter is quite down to earth in his writing and in his teaching. So I want to look, and basically we're just going to go through this text and look at some of these things that Peter is talking about here about us as Christians. And he starts out by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, just to start out with, understanding words is important. What does it mean to say, "Blessed be God"? The word bless or blessing, we usually think, well, God blesses us. And we're talking about the blessings of being saved. It's like receiving that good. But the word blessing actually carries two different connotations throughout Scripture. And it's important to understand this. The word to bless someone also means to talk good about them. And that's the meaning it is here. It's saying, hey, blessed be God. We can't bless God in the sense of we bestow our blessings upon him in the sense of make things good for him. But we can talk good about God. We can share of the greatness of God. We can talk to God about how great he is. And we should do that. We shouldn't just pray to God like, "Dear God, gimme, 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 gimme." We should say, "God, you are God. We don't deserve even to be in your presence. We need to make our God understand that we do understand how great he is." We should magnify our God. We should bless our God. And we can bless God not just directly to him, but we can bless God in front of other people as well. When we talk about God in front of peers, and we talk about God in front of those where we work and where we study and where we're at, and we talk about the greatness of God, we are blessing God. We are making him well known and known for good things among the people. So he starts out saying, hey, this is good. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we know who our Lord Jesus Christ is if you're saved. Amen? You cannot be saved if you do not know who Lord Jesus Christ is, because it's through his sacrifice that you can get saved. He goes on, so he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. That word mercy is another neat word to look into. What does the word mercy mean? You stop to think of that? What does mercy mean? It's something that kind of like grace is getting something that you don't deserve, right? Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We all, me included, we all deserve hell. We all deserve to be condemned. We are all sinners. That is what we deserve. But God brings his mercy to us in that he won't give us what we deserve under the circumstances that he gives it to us. And he says that it's not just a mercy and that like, okay, you deserve hell, so I'm going to be merciful and I'm just not going to let you go to hell. You'll just die and be nothing. It talks about his abundant mercy. And that goes way above beyond just, I'm not going to give you the hell that you deserve. He goes on and says, I'm not going to give you the hell that you deserve if you trust in Christ. But I'm also not just going to let you sit there and rot. I can do something far above and beyond because his mercy is abundant. His mercy is so abundant that me, that got saved at a young age, and I was not a terrible sinner. Don't ask my parents, but I was not a terrible sinner. Like some people that, you know, they rob, they steal, they murder, they do all sorts of things. It doesn't matter. God's mercy is abundant to cover any sin of anybody. That's a lot of mercy. So he goes on to say that the abundant, according to his abundant mercy, he's done something. He hath begotten us again. That's the good old being born again. Yeah, in John chapter 3, we get that story of Nicodemus. So he comes and he sneaks in at night to try to talk to Jesus. And he starts talking to Jesus about, Lord, I can tell you're a master. He says, Nicodemus, let's cut the chase. You need to be born again. And he was like, what? I have to go back in the belly of my mom and be born? What are you talking about? And he goes on to explain, says, Nicodemus, there are two births. There is a physical birth, the water birth. There is a spiritual birth. There are two different births. You need to be born again spiritually. You see, there's a concept here that so many people forget that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. God created Adam and Eve. He created them in the likeness and image of God. As God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he created man as being body, soul, and he put his own spirit in man. And man had fellowship with God. But then man sinned, and God said, don't you eat the fruit that I'm telling you not to eat, because if you do, the moment you eat it, you will die. Some people go like, well, see, the Bible lied. They ate it. They didn't die that day. They died later. No, they died that day. The word death means separation. And they were separated from God. That Holy Spirit, God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit, body, soul, and spirit of man, it was God's spirit, and that spirit was removed. Man became body, soul, without the Spirit of God. He died spiritually that day. Now, the crazy thing is, when you look at the Bible, and you look at when Seth was born, the continuing of the lineage of the people of the Lord. When you get to Seth, you see that Adam and Eve had Seth. But when they had Seth, the Bible says that they had that Adam had a son according to his own image. No longer God's image. But yes, I understand where man is made in God's image. But there was something lacking in Seth. And there's something lacking in every human being when they're born. They are not born with the Holy Spirit of God in them. That is why there's that emptiness that people are constantly looking to fill. It's like something is missing in my life. Let me fill it with something. And they try to fill it with entertainment. They try to fill it with drinking. They try to fill it with drugs. They try to fill it with something. They're trying to find what fills that empty spot. And the only thing that can fill that empty spot is the Holy Spirit of God coming back into the person being complete in the Lord. You must be born again. The Holy Spirit has to come back in to the person. And that can only be through spiritual birth. Isn't it awesome that God has this all worked out and he has this plan that works? And so many are trying to find the fulfillment in their life and they cannot find it and they will not find it. Because man, which was body, soul, and had the Spirit of God at the beginning, the Spirit was gone. And the only thing that will complete it is when the Holy Spirit is back in their life. We need to teach people to understand that they will never be complete until the Holy Spirit is back in their life. And that will only happen through the new birth. So he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. And he didn't just begot us again or give us a new birth just to be born again. But he has a special thing about this being born again. He says, unto a lively hope. You know, we have hope in things. But it's not just a hope. This is a hope that's alive. You know, it's something when you hope in something, well, I hope this works out, I hope. But ours is a lively hope because Jesus Christ is alive. He goes on to explain that in the verse. He says, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Those who are hoping in Buddha, I'm sorry to say Buddha is gone. He died, dead, gone. Muhammad died, dead, gone. Jesus Christ, excuse me, died, dead, resurrected. Our hope is in a resurrected Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in a dead Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the resurrected Jesus Christ. It's through the resurrection of the dead that he guarantees we can have hope. We have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, he says, to an inheritance. I like the idea of inheritance, don't you? Anybody here want a big inheritance? You know, I don't know. $5 million inheritance. Anybody? You don't? If you get it, just send it down to the mission field. We'll take care of it. But anyway, we like inheritances. What we don't like about inheritances is usually someone has to die for us to receive the inheritance. Well, Jesus died. We receive the inheritance. Isn't that something? But there's something really precious about this inheritance. He classifies inheritance. He says, inheritance that's incorruptible. Some people say that means the politicians don't mess with it, but that's not what it's talking about. Incorruptible means it cannot rust. It cannot decay. It does not get corrupted. It goes on to say it's undefiled. That means it's pure. It cannot be messed up. He goes on to say that it fadeth not away. That means that it will not lose its value. And it obviously explains how the verse ends, reserved in heaven for you, because if it were here on earth, it would rust, it would get corrupted, it would get stolen, something would happen. But he says, I've got an inheritance for you, and I will take care of this inheritance for you. You will get it. It's a good inheritance. And it says it's reserved in heaven for you, and if your Bible's a good Bible, it ends with a comma, not a period there. It says, reserved in heaven for you. That means the subject continues. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Do you know that our salvation, once we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith, our salvation is ours, but it's not ours. I mean, it's ours because he saves us, but it's not ours like something we receive. You know, if we receive something like, okay, let's say I give someone a pen, and it's their pen now. I gave it to them. But they could lose it. They could misuse it. So God doesn't give us the power over our salvation. He says, you're saved. I'm keeping it for you. If you've ever traveled with little kids, I had little kids, they grow up. But I remember when I was a little kid, we were seven kids. And whenever we travel, you know something my dad never did? He'd never give us kids our airplane tickets, our boarding passes. Have any idea why? Could you imagine when I was a little kid, dad giving me, here, son, here's your boarding pass. Here, LaWanda, Roger, Philip, Stephen, Peter, Rachel, and Timothy, drop your bottle there and hang on to your boarding pass. Yep. All right. Time to board. Let's go, everybody. It's like, where's the boarding pass? I don't know. Some of us would get left behind. God leaves no one behind. He says, I bought the ticket. It was really interesting because God buys the ticket. Amen? He paid for it. My father would buy the tickets. He'd pay for it. He'd also hang on to the tickets to make sure we didn't lose it. So when the time came to get on the plane, we would get on that plane and we would make it to our destination. God holds on to our salvation. It is not us that holds on to our salvation. That's why we are not proud to say, oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven because I'm good. No, it's because Daddy's holding on to the tickets. Therefore, I truly know, that I will make it because I can't lose something that's not in my hands.
Right.
So he goes on, he says, you know, that we're kept by the power of God through faith onto salvation, ready to be revealed. And it says in the last times, that's where it ends up, is in our complete salvation when we're finally at our final destination. We are, salvation is interesting because we are completely saved the moment we get saved. But the sense of salvation being complete is when we're in God's presence in heaven forevermore. So sometimes it uses future tense like this. But he goes on, revealed the last time. Verse 6, he goes on to say, wherein ye greatly rejoice. You know, we as Christians, we got to remember that, yep, we're going to go to heaven. Like it or not, you got saved. You got to have to go. That's how we invite people to come to our church sometimes, isn't it? Oh, you ought to come to my church. You're going to like it. They're going like, uh-huh, I'm liking it already. The Bible says that we should greatly rejoice. You know something? I cannot, can never, will never go to hell because of what Jesus Christ did for me. I have a lively hope. I should greatly rejoice in that. What can someone do to me? Shoot me? Send me to heaven? That's good. That's not bad. It'd be bad for my wife. She wouldn't like it very much. But, hey, we can rejoice. We do know what it means to rejoice, don't we? You guys do like sports somewhat, don't you? Some of you guys? No? Nobody here likes sports? Wow, this is a different church. No sports fans. Well, let me explain to you what some sports fans do, because then you'll know what I'm talking about. You've probably seen them, where they're watching this game where their team is at the end of the game, and the other team, like, what is it, a Super Bowl or whatever it is, and they're playing this, finally, I'm not very sports-minded either, but kind of have the concept here. And all of a sudden, let's say you're watching and whatever your favorite team or whatever your favorite sport is, I'm going to use football as an example, and you're watching there and your team is down and all of a sudden it's like the last few seconds and they catch an interception and they run and touchdown, time runs out and your team wins. How do you react? You're probably there watching, you go like, you know, you get up from the couch going, good game. Right? I've seen people in situations like that. And I see them go like, woo, woo, did you see that? Did you see that? And they go to their job the next day, and they're at their job, and they're telling their friends, did you guys see that? Did you see what happened? Did you see how awesome that was? And folks, I'm here to tell you that that is the kind of reaction that we should have about being saved. It is awesome to be saved. It's awesome to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. It's awesome to know that when I have problems, I have a God who loves me and who takes care of me. And we go to talk to people about it, we say, hey, hey, God is wonderful. Have you seen what God has done in my life? Let's be excited. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you go through heaven, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, problems, difficulties. We have them. That the trial of your faith, verse 7, and being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hey, you're going through problems? Consider it like fire on gold, just burning away the bad stuff. Let's stay faithful. God's got this. Let's let it go. Let's keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is blessed. It's a blessing to live and serve Jesus Christ. Verse 8, he goes on talking about the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, anyone here, have you seen, literally seen physically Jesus Christ? No. Okay. So whom having not seen, ye love. Do you love Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye what? Rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. When we think about God and what God has done for us, we should just be like, yes, this is good. I am saved. I'm going to go to heaven. I will not burn in hell. It is so good to be saved. It's so good to know in whom we have believed, in whom we have trusted our life. And he finishes up in verse 9 saying, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know, the reason it says that is because that's when our faith ends. You go like, faith ends? Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about three things. It says, finishes up, love, faith. I forgot what the other ones. But faith is one of the things that ends. You won't be trusting something to happen once it's already happened. Once we're in heaven, it's not like we'll be, well, let's see, you know, let's trust the Lord that this is going to happen. We're already there. It's going to be taken care of. It's not saying like it ends. It means that it graduates into, it becomes a realization. And once we have that realization, wow, that's going to be awesome. The sad part about it only is that once we're in that realization, we can no longer influence anybody else for the Lord. We can only do that now. So what I'd like to do is encourage you to think of the blessings of being saved. And if you're watching and you're not saved, you are missing out. It is awesome to be saved.
Yes, amen.
And if you are saved, rejoice in the awesomeness it is to be saved. And let's share with people that they may know how wonderful of a Savior we have, who though we deserve hell, through His mercy, He has offered us a way away from hell, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you do that today? Trust the Lord as your Savior? You say, no, I'm already saved. Well, then praise God.
Yes,
quit acting like you're sucking on a lemon or something, right, and start rejoicing in the Lord.
Yes,
show them teeth. That's okay. Show them teeth. Let people know you're happy. Amen. Christian people should be a happy people.
That's right.
Because we know what's going to happen. Right. Have you ever thought of that? If you're playing a game or doing something, and you know, people play different kinds of games, Uno or whatever, and you're playing some sort of game, and you look at your hand, and you go like, there's no way I can lose. How does that make you feel? It's like, I don't care what they put out there. This game is mine. You know what? It doesn't matter what this world or Satan throws out at us.
That's right.
Salvation is ours.
Yes,
not because we deserve it, but because God has offered us his salvation. Let's bow. I'll have the pastor come to finish up.
Are you, do you have the joy of the Lord this morning of your salvation? Have we got over it? Or is it still exciting to you? How about you this morning that's never had the joy? You've never been saved. You've never repented. You've never received Christ as Savior. But as many as received him, he gave them power. You've never had power. You're still the same person you've always been. You've never been changed. You're always who you've always been. You're still that same one. Oh, you've changed physically. You've changed mentally. You've changed socially. You've made some little bit of makeup change, a little bit of a physical change. But down deep in your heart, there's not a love, not a commitment. There's not an assurance and a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're empty. You know it. You're trying to fill it with other things and other people, other substances, entertainment. It will never be filled. Won't you just let go and let God have your heart this morning? Stop fighting this losing battle. Stop living a life with no victory. You know it and I know it. Sin has dominion over you. You're in the hands of Satan. You love this world. And you're scared to death of death. You know it, I know it, God knows it. Won't you let go this morning? Let Jesus save your soul. Christians are praying. Sinners, you've got nowhere to go. This same Holy Ghost that's convicting you now will be the same Holy Ghost that will convict you tonight. I pray he won't even let you sleep. I pray when you get in the morning, you'll still have that Holy Ghost conviction upon you. You won't even go through the day before you break down and let go and let God have your heart. Continue to work, our Lord. Thank you for the blessings of salvation. You sing, Brother George. If you need to come, you come. And we'll be glad to help you along the way. You come. Just as you are, I'm just a sinner, unsaved. Never been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Never experienced the joy that this preacher was speaking of today. Never thought about having an inheritance in heaven. Never thought about going to hell, but now I'd have. I want Jesus to be my Savior, be my Lord. Won't you come and turn this morning from your wicked ways and turn to Jesus? Turn from your idols and turn to Christ. Won't you do like they did in Thessalonica? They turned to God from idols. You come. Amen, Brother George. I know this morning, we're going to take just a few moments here. I know this morning you wanted to shout. I know you wanted to do that. So I'm going to let you get that out of you. And I'm going to say one, two, three, and on three, just shout. Because what he preached on this morning and the blessings of what we have is worthy of shouting. And sometimes we're too dignified and we're too scared and we're just out of our mind or just too worldly or carnal or too fleshly. I don't really know what all the answer is. But when you get to hearing stuff like that as a Christian, it'll make you shout. Amen. I mean, it ought to make you want to say something, do something, act something, be something. Something needs to happen. It's going to break. Amen. So I'm going to say three, and you just shout because I know you wanted to. And I'd hate for you to go through this day with missing that shouting time. Amen. So I'm going to say on three and just shout. You ready? Now, we've never done this before. One, two, three. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that helped you right there. That helped you, man. Thank you, brother. I don't think we all done that at one time ever in the existence of this church. This church has been existing since 1978. So it's a first time for everything. Amen. But I appreciate the encouragement. Appreciate the word of God. Appreciate Jesus. Amen. Boy, what a life changing that he's been in my life. I want to do one more thing. I want to tell you that when God came in my life, it was October 30th, 1988. Anybody else have a time when Jesus came into your life? Sister? All right, anybody else?
April 7th, 2014.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else have a time?
February 17th,
87. All right, in Brazil. See, God's even in Brazil.
Amen.
Anybody else? You don't shout it out. Make the devil mad.
August 21st, 2002.
All right, amen. Anybody else? The day you got saved.
Spring of
82. All right. Anybody else? 2016. Anybody else? Hey, this is the time to do it. If you're going to do it, you need to do it now.
February 2019.
Amen. February 28th. Anybody else? The day you got saved.
Remember, it's January of 1978.
January of 1978. Okay, Brother Wade.
Y'all can't see me back there in the hall. July 26, 1982.
Anybody else? Just yell it down. Anybody else? Now, there's a couple reasons why you couldn't say it. Number one is because you don't have it. You don't have no day. You can't. There's no day that you can remember in the past that you got saved. Or secondly, you're too ashamed. You're too ashamed to mention that tonight. So I don't know which one it is today, but both of them need to be dealt with. Amen? You say, you're trying to be hard, brother. Right? No, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm trying to be to a place where you get saved and enjoy what I enjoy. Amen. On three, we're going to do it one more time. Then we're going to close. One, two, three. Amen!
Praise God.
Man, y'all are turning charismatic.
We have fucking spoken tongues this morning, and we had interpretation. Now we're shouting. Y'all are too much. Amen. Let's be dismissed this morning in word of prayer. And thank you for coming, my brother. Pray for this family. They're going to Shady Acres tonight with Danny Farley, his pastor there. And he'll be presenting it as well. And then where are you going after that?
Back to Indiana.
All right. So let us know when you come back to Texas or bound to Texas. We have other pastors that we can introduce you to and get involved in, okay?
Thanks, sir.
All right. All right. Be sure to go around and shake hands with one another, especially our missionary family here today. And remember the one in college. And that he's coming out of college to start a Bible college.